Welcome. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. With us today, Steve Hallwell, fiduciary, California native. Very few of those out there, right?
Very few of us left, but proud to be a native.
Also, retired DOJ. And what'd you do for them?
Oh, I was a forensic accountant for Department of Justice for 25 years.
That's a long time.
Did a lot of money laundering investigations and tried to make the world kind of a safer and better place.
Well, thank you for that.
I really want to thank Dave and Ryan for having me on today.
You're welcome. Also with us, Sean Doheny, estate planning attorney coming to us all the way from La Jolla. Thank you very much. He is also a Pop Warner football coach for one of our really good friends, Ryan Giltinen.
Yes.
I guess it's Brian Giltinen's son, of course, Pop Warner football. Also, thank you for joining us. In this case, you're going to be here talking about estate planning, and you've got 10 biggest mistakes to obviously avoid when it comes to estate planning, and we're going to go through that a little bit later in the show, but also, welcome for joining.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So starting off, everything fiduciary, all things fiduciary, and what a fiduciary can do to help, and I think one of the biggest obstacles I would imagine that you come across is, frankly, people understanding that services that you offer exist out there. It seems like an unusual thing, at least in my family it was. I recently had my father-in-law's brother pass away, and he had no idea such a service exists. What does a fiduciary do?
Well, a fiduciary represents a person who's having troubles managing either their financial affairs or personal care of themselves or both. And it's a very high standard. It has to be set forth by the fiduciary, and the duty is to really do the best for the client that you possibly can. And it's a court-appointed position, and not to be taken lightly. And there's a lot of responsibility, and many things are a lot of responsibility, and many things
can come up,
can
right?
come up and
right.
arise.
So if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about essentially a trust. And you can certainly identify different trustees within the trust. So you've worked your whole life. You built quite a bit in your lifetime. Yeah. And now you're going to face the inevitable. We're all going to have that day where we're going to pass away. You want to set up a trust so that when your children are there to receive what you earn your whole life, that it comes to them without having to go through probate. And with your services, a fiduciary, what happens is you don't actually have to identify one of the children as the trustee. You can step in and actually handle the whole estate for them. Is that right?
That's correct. It also makes things very comfortable for the people leaving their wishes. And I follow their wishes. They're documented in the trust document.
You kind of become the decision maker. And by decision maker, I mean you're following the plan that has been outlined that the incapacitated person has asked to be followed.
Correct.
Right? And so if there are important decisions to make, a family member doesn't have the burden of doing so. And I would imagine commonly that avoids a lot of in-family fighting.
Correct.
That's the whole idea, right? I mean, the fact is that I see it all the time where families just get in this huge uproar over, you know, I need this and I need that and that's mine and this is yours. And you start assigning a trustee. Obviously, there's a place for that and it can work really well. However, the fiduciary can be that you take on that position and you keep the peace within the family. At least that's the idea, right?
That's exactly the idea. Also, I'm responsible and have to be faithful to the execution of the trust documents and what the document lays out. And also have to be very fair. There can be certain situations that come up that may not be addressed in the trust document, but people rely upon me to make the right decision and for the best of everyone concerned.
When is it time for a family that may be in need to start looking for a fiduciary, a decision maker, a rule follower, if you will, for, well, their plan?
Well, I would say once you've once you've accumulated many assets and enough assets, maybe the health of one of the people is declining or something going on, you need to get up with a trust attorney and execute a trust document and sit down, have them sit down with your family members and determine what, how everyone would like to have things divide or how things would like to go after the passing of a person. And at that point, the fiduciary, if the family members do not want to take the responsibility or there's a difference of opinion, the professional fiduciary can be appointed by the court and works hand-in-hand with their trust attorney and themselves.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Steve Hallwell, licensed fiduciary. His website, HallwellFiduciary.com. That's spelled H-O-L-W-E-L-L, fiduciary.com, HallwellFiduciary.com. You've got written down here five golden rules demanded of a fiduciary. And when we were waiting outside, you were explaining to me the difference between licensed and bonded. And there's a difference there you were going through that I think was relevant. Go through that again.
Well, one of the things is, one of your golden rules of being a fiduciary is that thou shalt be bonded. And there's a difference between bonding and insurance. We all have insurance policies. And insurance basically is the equitable transfer of risk of loss from one person to another. You pay your premium, and they have a deductible amount. And you can have part of your loss reimbursed by the insurance company. The bond is a lot different. The bond is a promise of one party to pay the amount to the second party who fails to meet their obligation. Translation, if I don't do a good job as a fiduciary, I'm bonded. And basically, you can recover anything that went wrong or goes wrong. And so it's very important to have the fiduciary be bonded. And it's a lot different than insurance and the fact that you're repaid in full plus interest should there be a problem.
I come from a blended family. My parents got divorced and remarried. There's four of us total. It's likely that in the trust, my sister is probably appointed the trustee. But frankly, I wouldn't want the job. There's just too much temptation to just have the family kind of get up in arms as to whether or not they want to sell the family estate or they want one of the children to actually have the family estate. And I got to say, I see it all the time where people get in fights over this sort of thing. And so as a way to avoid some of those situations, an alternative is your services, the fiduciary.
That's correct. One of the things, thou shalt be absolutely fair in decision making. I'm an independent decision maker. I'm doing it relying on the trust document and doing it for the best of the trust and the beneficiaries thereof. Have to be trustworthy. You know, I cannot have malfeasance. I cannot do the wrong thing. People rely on me to do the right thing.
I think it's a little bit difficult for most people to picture who have not been in one of these situations what exactly decisions you're talking about. Why don't you give us some of the examples of the decisions that are so encumbering on a family that they would want to turn them over to a neutral third party such as yourself, decisions and problems that you're able to overcome?
Maybe one of their parents is needing to go into skilled nursing, which could be quite expensive. One of the decisions you have to make if you want to have the proper skilled nursing at a facility that you're comfortable with your parents, you may not have the money, liquid assets to do it. You may end up having to sell the personal residence. And that's one of the things that is considered in there. Number two, the investments. How are you invested? How much risk do you want to take? Who the brokers are? Things of that nature. Number three, you might have a property. Maybe you want to turn it into a rental property. And part of the rental income is paying for the care of the loved one. And part of my responsibility is to collect the rents. Collect the rents and make sure everything is going well. It's a total thing.
You know, imagine the thought of something happening to a loved one and you're the trustee and now you're making these plans and there's the funeral and there's these things and there's all this heartache that's going on. And at the same time, you're trying to take on the responsibility of liquidating the estate and dividing everything according to the trust. This is a tremendous responsibility at a time when you're probably going to go through one of the hardest things you've ever faced in your life, and that is, you know, putting your parents to rest.
That's exactly it.
And so I see the value of what you bring here, because when you're in this industry all the time and there's things that you see right, that could come up that could be of benefit to the family – that, you know, you might not otherwise see if you're just a trustee running your own company, working your 9-to-5, whatever it is that you happen to be doing at the time, and all of a sudden this second job is thrust upon you.
That's exactly it. One of the things that people used to do a long time ago is they used their banker as their trustee, which is fine, except for the fact that if you become sick or incapacitated or something like that, if your all the banking now is pretty much located in Charlotte, North Carolina, I guess you'll have to call Charlotte, North Carolina and say, well, gee, I'm having some medical problems here, and rely on your banker. That's where one of the values of a fiduciary comes in also.
Well, kind of seems like you're almost a family-appointed big brother to these people, especially if you're doing things like collecting rent. I would imagine that also puts you in control of handling problems with the property. If you're collecting rent, usually you're doing whatever is necessary to keep that tenant paying, probably so they can use the money to then go and afford some kind of health care for the individual. Is that the idea?
Correct.
Really gets ingrained with the family. And one of the things you mentioned here, I've got it written at the top of my sheet, is vulnerability. That's where you come in, really protecting people that are vulnerable, right?
That's correct. People become vulnerable at different points in their life. And part of the fiduciary's responsibility is to be their ally, be their advocate, be their agent. Make sure that you're fighting for their behalf and allowing them to live the way they want in the best possible way they can, based on everything out there. And that's not to be taken lightly, ever.
We're talking with Stephen Hallwell, fiduciary. His website, HallwellFiduciary.com. That's the website, HallwellFiduciary.com. We talked about the vulnerability that he's able to come in and assist with, as well as the difference between being licensed and bonded, and it is a requirement to be bonded now, and really how he can come in and make some of those hard decisions for your family at a time when they're most difficult to be made. Loved one just passed away or perhaps become incapacitated, makes it a lot easier to have someone else in charge. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk with Sean Doheny and hear about the 10 biggest mistakes that can be made when it comes to making an estate plan. Ahead of us when we come back.
The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did. When I had financial stress, I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills. Any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today. 800-997-1235. 800-997-1235. Or go online, sandiegobankruptcy.us. 800-997-1235.
This is Lisa with the McDonald Legal Group. We are a debt relief agency. We help people file for bankruptcy relief under the bankruptcy code.
Mr. Credit here for Five Star Escrow. When you need escrow services, think Five Star, the escrow provider to the friends of the Mr. Credit Show. FiveStarEscrow.com. That's FiveStarEscrow.com.
Just having an estate plan or trust in place isn't always enough to make difficult times less challenging for you and your family. Life is full of change. This is why it's so important to have your estate documents reviewed regularly. Contact my attorney, Jared Causa, with Neil Diamant Law Firm, and find out if a review of your estate plan is needed. 619-238-1712. Since life changes so quickly, make sure your estate is properly handled. 619-238-1712 for your free consultation. Just mention Mr. Credit. 619-238-1712.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security networking and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data. All from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit Barracuda.com/products to try any free for 30 days.
You're in your car, and you can barely see through the windshield. You might as well be driving blindfolded, and we're pretty sure that's illegal in most states. So you go to AutoZone. They have the wiper blades you need to keep your windshield clear, your eyes on the road, and your butt out of jail.
Right now at AutoZone, save $8 when you buy two Duralast Aeroblade wiper blades. Stay safe with good visibility and save $8. Get in the zone. AutoZone. See store for restrictions and details.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. You know, everyone wants to have a good credit score, but very few people even know how to read a credit report. Now you can get a free copy of your credit report as well as a personalized analysis of that credit report, all 100% free, by simply calling this number, 619-734-9454. That's 619-734-9454. Find out specifically what's keeping you from having perfect credit and what action is needed. You'll get access to all the same resources I've personally used to improve and maintain my own credit score. Everyone can have great credit, but it takes a little help for most of us, and we are now providing that for free. Just call 619-734-9454 today and mention Mr. Credit, 619-734-9454. That's 619-734-9454 or email at MrCredit.org. That's MrCredit.org.
Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM is the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Steve Hallwell, fiduciary, his website, HallwellFiduciary.com. That's the website, HallwellFiduciary.com. Next up, Sean Doheny, estate planning attorney with the biggest 10 mistakes to be made in estate planning.
Well, you know, when we're talking about estate planning, what we're really talking about is preventative maintenance or preventative medicine, really, right? We're not talking about we want to put things in place so that when there is an issue within the family, that your guidelines are already laid out well before you need them. And that's really what happens when you put together a trust. Isn't that right?
You touched on it earlier. When somebody passes away in the family, you really don't want to stress them any more than it is. Make it easy for your relatives and your siblings and your beneficiaries to step in and implement an existing plan. The worst thing you can do is die without a plan and then have to go to court, figure out who's going to be the representative, and then trust the state to distribute your assets.
Right. I mean, there's already a plan in place, right? The state's put probate in place. And what we're talking about is really overlaying your guidelines, so the way you want your estate to distribute throughout the family, your rules. That's what the trust is all about. But there's some issues you've got to be careful, because it's clear to me that people need a trust. It's just clear. And I see issues where people will refinance and they'll have to take the property out of the trust and they don't put it back in the trust. You know, this is one of your topics here. You talk about not updating your estate plan. You see problems like that a lot of times?
All the time. Everybody changes. What your plan for your estate on the day you first draft it when you're 25 and have a one-year-old child is going to be completely different than when you're 65-year-old. That beautiful kid when you know they were just born and you wanted to leave them everything might be a completely different person by the time you're 64. It might not deserve a penny. And I've had clients who've specifically told me, I don't want this child to receive anything, and make sure we draft the documents. Ouch. So they don't. And it's sad, but it's a reality.
How often is someone supposed to update their estate plan?
I would recommend every 5 years.
Every 5 years. Or, of course, it's
at
a major life event.
Every 5 years. I mean, it might not need to be revised, but if you look, pull it out and sit down with an advisor and go through what you think you have planned and then what you want.
What you think you have planned.
Yeah, and make sure that those things still join together and the document is doing it, I think that is good advice.
What percentage of people do you think actually update it every 5 years?
Probably less than 25%.
Wow. So virtually 3 out of 4 is due.
Yes.
3 out of 4 people out there is in need of some kind of estate plan. That's a lot.
And the tax laws have changed too. I mean, they're always changing, but in the last 10 years have been dramatic changes in estate planning taxes. And just for a tax angle, your document should be looked at every 5 years.
You know, one of the examples that just comes to mind is that let's just say that in the last few years, you happen to get a divorce and everything has changed, right? But perhaps your trust hasn't been updated, right? And you still have your spouse pointed in the direction of receiving all the assets that you may have divided out, or maybe you want that, but at the same time, maybe you don't. Maybe you want your assets to be allocated differently, point towards the children. And you know, that brings up a good point, because if you don't fund the trust properly, you've just got an account with nothing in it. So if you just put an account out there, you have to go through the motions of actually having assets that you own point to that trust. Do you see problems like that show up?
Yeah, all the time. One of the biggest problems in estate planning is not properly funding the trust. It's just an expensive paper, an expensive piece of paper. A trust is a legal entity, and you want to have the assets, even if it's a bank account or a brokerage account or a rental piece of property. All those have different steps that need to be taken to change the legal ownership title of each asset so that it's considered to be owned by the trust. You don't want to have half your assets not in the trust, because those would have to be probated. And then the probate rules dictate, not the trust.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Sean Doheny. His website, EdwardDoheny.com. That's Doheny. EdwardDoheny.com.
You know, if you do have a trust, it may not actually be enough, right? A lot of times people will get a trust and they think, I've got it, but they don't actually have a will. And that's one of the things you actually bring up here. A lot of people just assume that a trust is all you need.
That is true, because the trust, like I explained, is a separate legal entity. If you have assets that weren't transferred into the trust, they would have to be probated to determine who would receive them on your death. I always recommend that a client not only have a family living trust, but have what I call a pour-over will. It's a simple document that if there are assets that are not titled and are left out in your personal estate, then you go to the probate court, you file the pour-over will, and it basically says there's one beneficiary, the trust. It's like a catch-all safety net. So if something's missed out there, and you can't plan for everything. I had a client that had a perfect estate drafted. Everything was properly planned. 5 months before he died, his father died.
Ooh.
And left him a lot of property in his name. And because of the process of his estate being wound up, it didn't get put into his trust. It was left him personally. And that had to be probated. And lucky for him, he had a pour-over will. We filed the petition for probate. We submitted the pour-over will. And those assets eventually were cycled back into the trust. But there was the period while both those estates were settled at the same time that those assets were in limbo. So it's good to be safe by having the pour-over will.
So if somebody reaches out to you and says, you know what, you're the expert, here are all my assets, what do you recommend? Do you sit down with that client and individually look at their situation and make recommendations, or is there just a one-size-fits-all?
No. I submit an initial client questionnaire to all clients. It's a lengthy document. It gets into all their assets, who they would nominate for agents to be the agent for a durable power of attorney if you're incapacitated, who would be a guardian for the children, who would be the successor guardian, who would be a successor agent. List all the important players. List all the assets. Then they come in the office. I've already reviewed what they have, figured out what the net worth is. And then we can sit down and say, hey, what's the best plan for you? Is it just a simple pot trust? Is it an AB trust? Maybe an ABC trust? These are separate sub-trusts that all have different tax benefits. And that's part of the process that we go through when we evaluate what is in the estate and what's the best plan for them.
So does someone always have to choose a trustee? Like, let's say you've got, in my situation, there's four of us. And does your parent have to choose one child over another? How do those decisions actually come into play?
One of the biggest mistakes you can make, and I think a lot of parents do this, is they say, I'd like to have my daughter and my son be the co-trustees. They don't even think about it. Maybe they don't get along, and this will force them to work together.
The first day
I went to probate court, and I'm sitting in the gallery, the judge that took the bench, I think it was Kronberger that day, and he says, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, of the gallery, this next case is an example of legal malpractice. And it was a brother and sister who were co-trustees on the parents' estate. And they never got along. And the parents knew they didn't get along. But they thought if they were both appointed together as co-trustees, they would learn to work together and it would bring them closer. Well, it did exactly the opposite. They hated each other and it created litigation over every decision that was made. And it ate into the principle of the trust. And it ended up costing the whole family a lot of money because of a bad decision. And I always tell my clients, pick one. Who's the one that can do the best job? And if you can't, get a fiduciary. Go to howellfiduciary.com.
Seems like the perfect solution if you're having difficulty with loving two siblings equally or thinking they do a good job. I would imagine there's some uncomfortability associated with choosing one sibling over another. That may be a great way to not have to make that choice is to go out and hire a fiduciary. I would imagine that's one of the main reasons people do that.
Most definitely.
Got it.
So, I mean, when I think about, let's just say that you've got an estate and you've got a co-trustee situation and the house has a mortgage on it. I mean, who makes a decision on where the money's going to come from? Who makes a decision on how much the house is going to be marketed for? Who makes a decision on who they're going to choose to sell the house? Are they going to go for sale by owner? And all these little decisions that are made can be litigated because they can't make a decision on this.
It's ripe for disaster. If you don't take the time, I mean, if it really is something that your client wants, that their two children work together as co-trustees, if you don't sit down and outline all the responsibilities and how these decisions are going to be made, which is costly because you have to draft that document, you're going to leave yourself ripe for litigation and problems down the road.
But at the same time, the opportunity is there for someone to sit down and actually pre-plan exactly how this is going to go.
Yes, we do that.
And that's exactly where you come into play here.
We do. We'll sit down and say, listen, if you want both your son and daughter to be co-trustees, is it going to be unanimous? Is it not going to be unanimous? What decisions can one make without the other? And you really have to sit down and go through all the options. And those are services that we provide that you won't get if you're trying to do it yourself or use an online service. I mean, that's where we see the mistakes or where people try to put together their own will or trust and use an online service and then not hit these issues because they don't think about them.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Sean Doheny. His website, EdwardDoheny.com, EdwardDoheny.com, EdwardDoheny.com. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Steve Howell, get into the five golden rules of a trustee. Ahead of us, when we come back.
If your service is five stars, your escrow partner should be too. Five Star Escrow, getting your transactions closed and getting you paid. FiveStarEscrow.com. FiveStarEscrow.com. January 1st, health insurance is changing for all of us. So how is your insurance going to change? Will you be forced to buy a new policy or change your existing one? What are your options? Craig Gusson with Auerbach & Gusson is a certified health reform specialist who can help answer these questions today at no cost to you. Just call 858-546-4101. That's 858-546-4101 to learn everything you need to know about health reform. 858-546-4101.
The Subway Tuscan Chicken Melt is now trending. Let's see what people are saying. Hashtag low fat. Hashtag living the dream. Hashtag cheese please. Hashtag nom nom nom. We couldn't agree more. The Tuscan Chicken Melt made with tangy balsamic vinaigrette and melty cheese. Enjoy it for a limited time as a $6 footlong special. Hashtag get your own. Subway. Eat fresh.
Prices participation may vary. Plus tax. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Low fat refers to 6-inch subs prepared to recipe. Full nutritional information at Subway.com. Limited time only.
Hey everybody, this is Coach. And I want all you tried and true college football fans to enter the AT&T Be the Fan sweepstakes. Tackle my weekly challenge and you might be the fan who wins a VIP trip to ESPN College Game Day. Find out how you can win at attbethefan.com. AT&T, rethink possible.
No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. citizens and resident aliens of the 50 U.S. states or D.C. of the age of majority. Ends 11:59 p.m. Central Time, November 29th, 2013. Official rules at attbethefan.com. Void where prohibited.
I'm John Kincaid with the CBS Sports Minute. Losing? It's in the air. It almost seems fashionable in sports now to go wet the bed for a season in order to cash in for a bright future. Check out the Chiefs. A year ago, they were a terrible NFL team. Now they're 7-0 and have the best record in the NFL. How can that happen? The Colts did the same thing the previous season. Worst team in the NFL, add Andrew Luck, and go to the playoffs as a wild card in his first year. Well, somewhere the Philadelphia 76ers ownership group has been taking notes, and in a blatant attempt to rebuild by grabbing a potential superstar in the upcoming NBA draft, the Sixers roster looks like a bad D-League team. They'll probably even sit top pick Nerlens Noel the whole season. Somebody forgot to tell the Sixers, though, that unlike the NFL, the lottery still puts the worst team in the NBA in peril of not getting that golden ticket. Trotting that squad out in the court this year is a disgrace to the spirit of competition. I'm John Kincaid.
Sign up to become an O'Reilly O'Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O'Rewards members earn $5 back for every $150 they spend, so if you haven't become a member yet, what are you waiting for? It's fast, easy, and free. O'Rewards, it's your road to exclusive offers only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Before heading out hunting this fall, Wolverine offers this simple reminder. Do it right, and with a little luck, you just might weigh about 200 pounds more on the hike back out. Make sure your feet are up to the challenge. Wolverine hunting boots give you the protection and comfort that can take you wherever your passion leads, in any weather, over any terrain. Authentic Wolverine boots and apparel, made true since 1883. Wolverine.com.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. You're listening to ESPN Radio 1700. Catch me weekdays at 7 a.m. ESPN Radio 1700.
Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard about four of the 10 biggest mistakes made in estate planning from Sean Doheny. His website, one more time, EdwardDoheny.com. That's the website, EdwardDoheny.com. Now moving to Steve Howell, fiduciary. Mentioned previously, five golden rules demanded of a trustee, and frankly, they seem very, I will go as far as saying obvious for someone that we would put in charge of our estates, but comprehensive as with respect to what you're expected to do. And they seem very powerful, actually. Go ahead.
It's very simple. I call it the five golden rules, and it's trying to do the right thing. And that's the way I kind of look at things. First one is, thou shalt administer the trust by the terms set forth in the trust. You read the document. Hopefully you'll have Mr. Doheny execute the document. And bottom line is, you follow the rules that are set forth in the trust. And if there's anything that's not mentioned, err the side of caution. Don't do anything that would be detrimental to the trust or going forward with it. The second one is, thou shalt furnish information and statements to the of the trust to the beneficiaries on a yearly basis. Let everyone know what's going on generally. Everything's fine. It gives everyone a lot of peace of mind on that. The trust is a very confidential document. That's the third part of it. Thou shalt protect the confidentiality of the trust. It's a confidential document drawn up between you and your attorney, and I'm there to follow what is drawn up by the attorney, Mr. Doheny, in the trust. But at the same point, I'm not allowed to discuss all the trust issues or the document with anyone else. It's a very personal and private document. Thou shalt be loyal to the trust and people associated with it. Well, loyalty is a big thing. When you're a fiduciary, they're relying on you to do the right thing. I managed the affairs of a lady for 7 years. When I first met her, she was living in a view apartment overlooking the ocean, and she'd lived there for 45 years in the same apartment. And she goes, Steve, she goes, I want three things to be done in my life. Number one, I want to live here in this apartment regardless of how my medical concerns are going. If I'm doing badly, I want 24-hour help in the apartment here to take care of me. I do not want to go to any skilled nursing facility. Number two, I want to drink two glasses of Chardonnay every evening while watching the sunset. And she's number three, I don't drive anymore, but my pride and joy of my life is my 1962 Corvette, which is housed in my garage. And she goes, I want that car to work perfectly and maintained and take it out for a spin once in a while to make sure it's running.
Tough job.
And she goes, "That is my; those are my wishes." As fate would have it, right after she explained her wishes to me, her health began to deteriorate. And per her instructions, we set up 24-hour care in her apartment and basically had provided the care. And she was able to live the next 7 years of her life the way she wanted to do it. Also had to work with her financial advisors, making sure that we had enough money being thrown off in dividends and interest and the like to afford this type of care and lifestyle.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be a really important part of your job.
It's a very important part. You have to rely with the financial professionals and meet with them on a quarterly basis, make sure things are going, make sure that we're in prudent investments, not risky investments,
right?
Where we have some growth, but we also have some income. You also have to meet periodically with the trust attorney, give them who drafted their documents, give them a heads up on what's going on, see if the laws have changed. Tell them the client is, you know, deteriorating a little bit here and there. It might change the plan. It might not. But it's all a team effort. It's kind of orchestrating the team, being a manager of the team.
So, Steve, I want to back up here for a second. You talked about the five golden rules.
Yeah.
Number two was thou shalt furnish information statements to the trust, to the beneficiaries on a yearly basis. So, you know, what I see in this statement is that there's really the before and the after, right? So if somebody sees themselves in a position where, like you had given us in that example, you know, she's still competent enough to make the decisions on how she wants the rest of her life to be, maybe she doesn't want to burden her family, maybe she doesn't have family to appoint these responsibilities to, you come in, furnish the information, maybe Sean puts together the trust. Right?
That's correct.
Okay. And then you are the one who shepherds and executes the wishes of the trustee.
That's exactly how it works. And when I say furnished information to the beneficiaries don't know what they're going to receive, but you can let them know they're named in the trust and that the person who named them, how things are going along, basically, they're fine or what is going on there. And I think it's there's always something at the end of life issues where people say, gee, I wonder if this person is leaving me anything or this and that. And it's not really – when you let people know they are a beneficiary of this trust, it kind of draws them closer into the person a little bit. And it kind of relieves, especially on family members. It's like, wow, you know, they've really thought about me. They've taken care of me. And you'd be surprised some of the goodness that can come out of that, just having personal information on that.
So when it comes to that after situation, you know, the way I originally saw it is that, you know, you have a trust, you pass away, you know, the trust is sold and divided and all the assets go their separate ways. And, you know, the trustees are all happy because they received a certain portion of the estate and it's open and shut case. But not necessarily the case, right? I mean, it could be that it's not the right time of year to sell the property. And maybe there's a rental in the property or maybe there's shares in a corporation that pay a monthly dividend and you're not going to sell that right now. And you're here to manage that for however long.
That's exactly. It could go on for any number of years in a way. It could end very quickly also. There might be an asset in there such as a favorite vacation home that we all had very good memories of growing up. And maybe if it's a brother and sister beneficiary, maybe the brother would say, you know what, sis, I really would like to keep the vacation home. I'd like to do that. And then the two of them can work out some type of arrangement where it's equitable based on the trust document saying I want it 50-50. Well, okay, there has to be some equitability there. And bottom line, the brother might take the vacation home and the sister will take something else as equitable to the vacation home. And that's part of the whole thing, too.
Well, in this example you gave where the woman wanted to remain in her view condo there, did she have other family?
No other family. No, she was married a couple of times, no children, and she was the only child growing up. And Her parents had both passed away. And so I was her kind of lifeline to the outside world.
Sounds like it. You were her only link to making sure that what she wanted was honored.
Yes, and I took that very seriously. It's when you're appointed to be a fiduciary or an attorney like Mr. Doheny recommends fiduciaries, I take it it's the highest duty. It's a very I'm very honored to be appointed or help out. I think it's a very high duty and a standard that has to be met. And I think if anyone takes those lightly, it could lead to many, many issues that no one really wants to come up with.
I would imagine, Sho, your last one here is impartial in the administration of the trust. What does that mean?
Sometimes there will be situations come up. There might be a situation where there's two beneficiaries. Let's go back to the brother and sister again. Maybe the brother is undergoing treatment for cancer, and he wants to do an experimental procedure that could help his life. They might be income beneficiaries where they're supposed to receive X number of dollars per year. It might be a situation where I'll talk with both parties, the brother and the sister, explain the brother's wishes here. And the sister, for the most part, might say, well, gee, I'm willing to forego a little of my income beneficiary. Please give it to my brother so he can get this procedure done. Might not be covered under insurance or something like that, or experimental. And that's where I say impartiality, and you have to handle things with class. And I think, you know, I'm there to help everybody. I'm there to make sure that everyone's comfortable, and we're trying to do the right thing.
And that's always easy to do.
That's exactly it.
It's not always
easy
to do.
And you think back, I mean, the person, maybe it's their mother that left this to them. Their mother would want the two of them to get along. Maybe that's some way that they get along real well on that. I hate to say adversity brings people together sometimes, but sometimes it does.
Well, we'd like to think that it always does, but I think you mentioned a case earlier where it didn't necessarily do so. I can certainly see how it could go either way. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Steve Hallwell, fiduciary. His website, HallwellFiduciary.com, H-O-L-W-E-L-L, fiduciary.com. One more time, HallwellFiduciary.com. When we come back, we are going to get through a few more of the biggest mistakes in estate planning with Sean Doheny ahead of us when we come back.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Bruce McPherson with Security One Lending as a regular guest on the show and my go-to guy for reverse mortgages. Listen, if you're 62 years or older and you own a home, whether you have a mortgage or not, chances are you can benefit from one of today's HECM reverse mortgage options. Just call Bruce McPherson at 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174. You can just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Over the past 9 years, Bruce has really earned his reputation as an honest, ethical reverse mortgage advisor, and he's someone I genuinely trust, and you can too. Don't let old myths about reverse mortgages keep you from calling to get the facts. Today's government-insured HECM reverse mortgages are incredibly flexible, whether you need money now or just want to be prepared for the future. Call your local expert, Bruce McPherson, today and get all the answers you need for free. 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174, or just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Five-star escrow, the service you deserve when you need it most at closing. Five-star escrow, fast, friendly, and accurate. Why would you settle for less? Fivestarescrow.com. That's fivestarescrow.com. Have you been selected for an audit by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS money and want to find a way to settle your account as quickly and easily as possible? Hi, Mr. Credit here. Listen, I had the IRS come knocking on my door over $600, which I didn't even owe them as it turns out. I know how scary this stuff can be. The good news is I know exactly what to do. My tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn, is board certified and works only on tax-related issues. He understands how the IRS works and how to make the most of each situation. And get this, mention Mr. Credit when you call and get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan, $500 value, absolutely free. Call Jeffrey Kahn today at 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829 today and get these tax issues behind you as quickly as possible. 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829.
844-694-6829.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security networking and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data. All from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit barracuda.com/products to try any free for 30 days.
You're in your car, and you can barely see through the windshield. You might as well be driving blindfolded, and we're pretty sure that's illegal in most states. So you go to AutoZone. They have the wiper blades you need to keep your windshield clear, your eyes on the road, and your butt out of jail.
Right now at AutoZone, save $8 when you buy two Duralast Aeroblade wiper blades. Stay safe with good visibility and save $8. Get in the zone. AutoZone. See store for restrictions and details.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
Welcome back. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN, 1700 AM. It's a Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Steve Hallwell, fiduciary, his website, HallwellFiduciary.com. HallwellFiduciary.com. Back again, Sean Doheny, estate planning attorney. His website, EdwardDoheny.com. That's the website, EdwardDoheny.com.
You know, Sean, you are commonly called on to actually handle probate.
We have, right? Yes.
So as a trust attorney, is that something that's common?
It is common. A lot of attorneys in the olden days didn't put trusts together because the statutory fees were higher in probate. So they would just put together a will and then think, well, my card is in the file.
They'd rather make the money.
Yeah, and I can get the statutory fees on the administration of the will. And so hopefully a beneficiary or an heir will come to me because my card's in the file, and then I'll file the probate petition for them and then collect the large fee.
Wasn't that nice of them?
So yeah. What are the fees associated with probate? Say you don't actually put a trust in place and you're thrust into a situation where part of the family's assets are tied up in probate. How does that work?
Well, there's two systems. One, you have a will, and so the will is probated. Or two, you don't have a will, and your estate is probated, and then the distribution is decided by the rules of the California State Probate Code. So both of them are statutory fees that the state takes the money out of your estate before it distributes it to your heirs. And it's on a sliding schedule. It's a percentage of the net worth. And it, for instance, if you have a $200,000 estate, it's going to cost $14,000. If you have a $1 million estate, it's going to cost $46,000. And it slides from those two numbers. And
who decides what the estate's worth? I mean, I would imagine coming up with a lower number makes more sense, right?
The judge will have an individual appointed to make an appraisal. The thing is that they don't reduce the value of any debts. So if you have a $1 million home with a $500,000 mortgage, you're going to be charged
$1 million
for
the house.
$1 million, you're going to be charged the $46,000.
Wow.
God, not the equity. It's the overall value of the property or what's in the estate.
And a good trust is going to cost a lot less than $46,000.
A good trust is going to cost a lot less. Yes, let's hope so. Why does everybody not have – I mean, why is anybody going through probate?
Well, if you live in California and you own real estate, there's no excuse.
But it still happens, right?
People don't want to think about death. I mean, that's one of the main things that I point out when clients come in and start to plan is like, this is good that you're starting this process.
Yeah, facing mortality is not necessarily something wants to wake up and do.
And it's going to happen to all of us. There's no way to avoid it. It's going to happen. So at some point you should sit down, talk to your attorney about what your plan is and how you want your estate divided up, and then have the talk with your kids.
Yeah, talking about the talk – so what do people do? You recommend they sit down and say, you know, here's the plan. Let's like open this up for discussion at, say, you know, brunch at Denny's or what?
I would recommend it at the dining room table at home after a couple glasses of wine. Get the family around the table. Let them know that you've set up your estate plan. tell them where the documents are. That's the number one thing. If the wife and husband die in a car crash, what do you do? Where's the first place to look?
There's no judge drop box where they go, oh, okay, you know, here, let's just go to this estate and here's all the documents we need.
Right. This is what I say. Put it in a safety deposit box. Have a key and tell the kids, if something were to happen to me, the key is in the desk drawer. Okay? And then in the safety deposit box is a binder. In that binder, you're going to find all the documents that are necessary after I'm dead or if I'm incapacitated. And explain to them what's in that binder. Have that binder there at the dinner. Talk to them about who has been nominated to make the decisions if you're incapacitated and what you expect them to do. Have them discuss, you know, what is going to happen after you die. Who's going to be the trustee? What you expect the trustee to do? And talk through it. A lot of people don't.
They don't do that, huh? Doesn't sound like a great conversation to have, but it sounds like it's necessary.
It's very necessary to cut the burden on the family and make it as easy as possible during probably one of the worst times they're going to go through.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Okay, Sean, we talked about the trust and we talked about the need for a pour-over will. Is there anything else that someone would need to consider? I mean, these days with the medical advances that we've had, they seem to be prolonging disability, if you will.
To make sure you have a complete estate plan. What all is necessary to make sure it's complete?
There are like five key documents: the pour-over will, the family living revocable trust, and the durable powers of attorney. The will and trust are for if a settlor dies. But there's that period where you can become incapacitated in a coma. You need people to make decisions for you. Who's going to pay the mortgage on the home if you're in that coma for an extended period of time? Who's going to pay the gardener? Who's going to help the business run if you're running your own business? You need an agent, and you don't want to have your kids fighting over who's going to get that job. Who's the first one to go to court to file for a conservatorship? Because that's how it would be done if you don't have those people designated and already assigned in your durable powers of attorney, one for asset management and one for healthcare. And those tie in also with the advanced healthcare directives, which instruct the hospital and doctors on how you wish to die, which is another discussion that needs to be had.
A specific power of attorney, right?
That's a specific document called the Advanced Healthcare Directive, and it instructs your doctor and the hospital on what to do if you're in an irreversible condition, an irreversible coma, maybe a vegetative state that now maybe 1, 2, 3, it's up to you, independent physicians determine that you're not coming out of. How long do you want to be in that state? How long do you want to be observed? Do you want to receive hydration, nutrition? Do you need to have mechanical respirators aiding you and keeping
you
alive?
So like you set up a flow chart. Right. If it turns out that I'm not coming back, I'd rather not deplete the assets of my estate to keep me in a vegetative position just until I can't afford it anymore, and then they've got to make a decision.
But there was a famous case Florida? Where I assume this was not in place.
It wasn't. And there was a lawsuit filed, and she stayed in the hospital until everything was decided by the courts. And it was a long and a very expensive process.
Yeah, I Googled it. It was not a pretty sight.
Was it the parents and the husband were fighting with what they thought the daughter and the wife's wishes were on how she wanted to pass?
Yeah, they were not on the same page on how
they were not on the same page
on how she wished to end her life, and so they just kept her alive until the courts made the decision.
Right. Sounds like an advanced healthcare directive would be very important to not put yourself in a situation like that. You mentioned five documents that would create a complete estate plan. Go through those one more time.
Pour over will.
You talked briefly. That's the all-encompassing. If we missed it, we're bringing it back in.
That's the safety net.
Safety net. Okay.
And then above that would be the family living revocable trust,
okay,
which would instruct how the assets are distributed. If you have minor children, a lot of times it's important to plan how are they going to receive those assets while they're minors? Who's going to be the guardian? Are you going to pay for anything beyond health, education? And then when are they going to get the money? Are they going to get it when they turn 18? Are they going to get some of it at 25? Is it going to be used for college education? I mean, you really can be as creative as you want with the trust document. Do you have requirements that they be productive members of society? I've seen clients that say, I want my child, even though he's going to be getting this large sum of money, I want him to be productive. And to incentivize him, I'm going to give him $3 for every dollar that he earns his income. Or $2. Or I'm going to give him a bonus. Or I'm going to buy him a house. I mean, you can be as creative as you want in controlling your money after you die through that trust. The other documents would be the durable power of attorney for asset management, the durable power of attorney for healthcare decision, and the advanced healthcare directive. And then we do the deed of the grant deed or grant deeds to make sure that any real estate is properly transferred and fund the trust, because that's usually the most difficult funding that an individual people don't really – they're not comfortable drafting their own deeds. So we make sure that we get that done.
So five, maybe six if you include the deeds of documents necessary. If you don't have them, you need to reach out, edwarddoheny.com. That's the website, edwarddoheny.com. One more time, edwarddoheny.com. Talked about the 10 biggest mistakes made in estate planning and what it takes to create a complete plan. Five, six documents necessary. Again, if you don't have them, reach out to Sean Doheny. I want to thank you for showing up as well. Steve Hallwell, his website, HallwellFiduciary.com, HOLWELL Fiduciary.com. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us. Coming up next, Tim Stromble with Sports Court.